If you've ever wondered why I present Jesus to you, it's because Jesus died for you on a cross. He's God's Son. He is God. And God so loved the world that He gave us the Lord Jesus. And Jesus came to this earth and He lived on this earth, and then He was taken and crucified on a cross. And when He died on that cross, He took upon Himself your sin and my sin. And He died. And when He died, your sin and my sin died with Him. And then by the power of God, He was raised on the third day. So that Jesus now is alive. And when Jesus came out of the grave, He didn't bring our sin with Him. Our sin remained in the grave. The Encouraging
Word. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. That's the voice you heard moments ago as we opened the broadcast. And I love Mondays. I know most people like Fridays, but I just think there's a wonderful freshness about beginning this day together in God's Word. And today, Dr. Wilton takes us back to the book of Hebrews. Now, it's one of our favorite passages, and this week we'll be slicing and dicing through the book of Hebrews as we talk about this sense of motion. Let's roll. Let's move forward in the cause of Christ right where you are. As we study God's Word, know that we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at theencouragingword.org. Now here's Dr. Don.
I'm going to ask you this morning to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. And I know this may come as a surprise to some, but this is our second to last message in Hebrews. In this wonderful series on the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to read to you today chapter 13. Of the letter to the Hebrews. So you need your Bibles open there, Hebrews chapter 13. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And so it is that we're able to say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your spiritual leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. But the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so it is that the Lord Jesus also suffered outside the city gate in order to make the people holy through His own blood. Let us, then, go to Him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace He bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Therefore, Jesus, let us continue through Him to offer a sacrifice to God of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices God is pleased. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us that which is pleasing to him. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and forever. Amen. Brothers, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written you only a short letter. Thank you very much. It took me 70 messages to get through. Verse 23. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all God's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with all of you. I've shared this and I share it again. Flight 93, on that terrible day, September 11th, 2001, they knew what was happening in New York City. Conversation was carried on between the passengers of that ill-fated flight. We don't know the contents of the conversation. What we do know is that Todd Beamer, whom I believe just simply represented all those remarkable heroes on board that flight, stood up and he said, in essence, ladies and gentlemen, we know what's out there. We've discussed this. We don't have time. Let's roll. 12 chapters. Discussion, marvelous study, great insight, exciting things that God has showed to us. Chapter 13, let's roll. I believe chapters 1 through 12, Sunday morning. Chapter 13, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We've already looked at four actions, four imperatives that we have in the first four verses. Action number one, love fellow Christians. Action number two in verse two, share your blessings. Action number three, verse three, identify with sufferers. Action number four in verse four, we looked at it last week, be faithful in your marriage. Here it is, action number five, be content. Be content. I want you to look with me at verse 5 and verse 6 and fasten your seatbelt. This is remarkable what God is going to show us this morning. Verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. And it is on that basis that all believers can have the confidence to stand up and say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What a remarkable promise. Here it is, action number five, be content. Now, dear friends, many people over the years, or at least some people, have said that this passage here is about money. I don't believe it's about money. Not for one minute. I believe that the reason why money is used here is because money is something that all people identify with. Even Judas Iscariot identified with money. And he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for just a meager little pouch of money. Money is something that we all identify with. It's something that we all need. It's something that is very important. I believe that what God is doing here is that he is using something that affects all people. And he doesn't tell us that money is evil. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. I challenge you to give me a verse of scripture that says money is wrong. It doesn't. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. The love of good clothes, not good clothes, the love of good clothes is the root of evil. The love of possessions, not possessions, the love of possessions is what is wrong as far as God is concerned. I've even heard people say, well, you know, if you really come to grips with what God is saying, he's against anybody making money. Absolutely not. I've even heard people over the years who have been awfully critical of anybody who makes a lot of money, the wealthy, for example. Well, you show me one passage in Scripture where it says, thou shalt not make money. It doesn't. I'm going to tell you, folks, in America today, there are people who have a lot of money. There are people who have plenty of money. There are people who have just enough money. And there are many people who have no money. Bottom line here, God is about to put on us something that is remarkable for the believer. He looks into the heart of each one of us and he says, whether you have a lot of money, whether you have some money, whether you have enough money, or whether you have no money, bottom line, be content. Be content. Because the love of something, whether you have it or whether you don't have it, is going to be your downfall. Now, folks, I believe that when God tells us this, he reaches not just into the pocketbook of all people, he reaches into the pocketbook of our hearts. He goes to the very source of our being. He touches us at the very point of our character and our nature. God tells us that we need to be content no matter what state we're in. Some people said, well, South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, Mississippi. No, he's not talking about the state we live in. He's talking about the condition of our heart. And he's talking about the things that we have and also the things that we don't have. So let's try and understand what he is saying to us at this juncture. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give to you this morning the three golden rules of contentment. And we're going to begin to understand what he's saying here in verse 5 and 6. Here it is, the three golden rules of contentment. Now I want to say just to the boys and girls and the young people here today, I promise you, young people, if you learn the biblical principle of contentment, God will bless you in ways that you can never imagine. See, we're living in a turbulent society today, folks. Everywhere we look, we are being challenged at the point of our contentment. You take, for example, someone like LeBron James, probably the next Michael Jordan. What I read in the newspaper is this remarkable young man, while he was still a teenager, he was just 18 years old, was signed through Nike and everybody else to hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, folks, here's America. All the athletes of America, they look at this and they say, wait a minute, here's a man who signs a contract for multi-millions of dollars. He didn't even have to go to college. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set my sights on something that I don't have, but I know that I can have if luck comes my way. Now, I'm going to show you something here that's remarkable, folks. Here are the three golden rules of contentment. Number one, never love what you have more than what you do with what you have. That's what God is saying to us.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with more of Dr. Wilton in just a moment. But as we put a pause, a comma at that concept of being content, I pray that if there is a discontentment in your life, you would realize God has organized it. My bride calls it coincidios. It's not coincidence that you're listening. It's coincidios. God would have you listen so that you'd perhaps jot down this number, 866-899-WORD. That's our phone number. It connects you directly to one of us 24 hours a day, ready to pray with you and for you, ready to encourage you in God's Word. That's 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather go keyboard to keyboard, we'll do that as well online at theencouragingword.org. We would love to connect with you. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
Never love what you have more than what you do with what you have. That's what God is saying to us. I want you to all look at that, read that, write it down, and we need to start thinking about it. Never love what you have more than loving what you do with what you have. For example, I've got a very nice motor car that I drive. I think most Americans have a love affair with motor cars. You can just try to get from A to B and you'll run into the love affair all the time because you can't get by them to get to where you want to go. We're all driving around. Here's what God says to me. God looks at me and he says to me, Don Wilton, I've given you a motor car to drive. You got a choice. Either love what you have. Love your motor car. That's your idol. That's your baby. Or love what I am enabling you and equipping you to do with what you have. So what God is saying to me is rather than put everything into the love that I have for my motor car, I need to put everything into what God has given me that motor car to do. Well, what can I do with my motor car? Well, I can go and pick up my sons and daughters at school. That's a real blessing, folks. I can go to the grocery store to provide for my family. That is a real blessing. I can use my motor car to go and visit somebody in hospital. That's a real blessing. I can take a trip somewhere. I can go on vacation and take a break because I've got a motor car to drive in. I can get to First Baptist Church on Monday mornings. I can be around my friends. I'm mobile. I can move around. God is saying to me that I need to love what I do with what I have far more than loving what I have. He uses money as an illustration because it's a logical thing. He said it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. He looks into the heart of the Don Wiltons and he says, Don Wilton, you've got so many dollars. This is your paycheck. This is what you're worth. You've got this home. You've got this bank account. You've got these wherewithals. The issue is this. Do you love what you have or do you love what you do with what you have? Because if you love what you have and you don't love what you do with what you have, I tell you, my friends, according to God's word, you have bought into the root of all evil. Are you listening this morning? You've bought into the lie of the world. Have you ever met people who just love what they've got? Let me say a word to all the young ladies here today. If you've got a sister, let's talk about clothes for a moment. Actually, maybe we better not, because I'm going to really get onto somebody. Here you are, you two sisters in the same house. I know you've never fussed at your sister because she wanted to borrow one of your items of clothing. But I've come to learn and understand that the root cause of many a fight in many a home is because who does she think she is? She took my sweater. Now watch this, folks. God says don't love your sweater. Love your sweater for what you can do with it. Well, what can you do with a nice sweater? You can look good. But you can also share it with your little sister. Now try that one for size. All the parents here say, thank you, Pastor, for putting that in there. The Lord really spoke to your heart today. Well, we could go on and on. Watch this. Golden rule number one, folks. It's really special. Listen to this. Love, never love what you have more than what you do with what you have. Now, you got to examine your heart before God. By the way, if you do love what you have more than what you do with what you have, what are you known as? A very selfish person. You ever met a really selfish person? Mine. You kidding? Mine. Well, what do you have? Your home, your finances, your family, your barbecue set, your lawnmower. Folks, I know some people, man, if the neighbor next door, his lawnmower broke, you kidding me? I won't let him ride my lawnmower. You get your own lawnmower, big boy. Do you understand what God is saying here? He's just simply reaching down into our hearts, folks. It's what he's talking about. Look at that verse there. He says in verse 5, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content. Number 2, Golden rule number two, never crave what you do not have. Here it is, golden rule number two, don't crave what you don't have. Now, folks, people, listen to me, young people, I want all the young people to watch me. Please, I'm going to beg of you, don't go through life always craving what you don't have, because you'll be miserable. Be content with what you have. Otherwise, you become a part of the feeding frenzy of America. I got to make it, I got to make it, I got to make it, I got to make it. I got to climb up this corporate ladder. I got to be somebody, I got to be acceptable, I got to do this, I got to do that. And your whole life is going to be running around trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to be there. You're going to neglect your wife, your children, your husband. You're going to neglect your friends. You're going to become one of those people that look like ghosts because you never get any work, you'll never go on vacation, you'll never have priorities in your life because you have bought into the root of all evil. Number three. Golden rule number three, never covet what others have. Now listen carefully here today. Never covet what others have. Let me tell you, one of the hardest things for people to do is to be blessed of the Lord. You go and go to somebody who's been blessed. You pray for people who have really been blessed, folks. Can I tell you why? You need to pray for them. Because the more blessed people materially and every other way, the more they get criticized by everybody else. Some of you spend half your life criticizing wealthy people. People of means, people who are blessed, whether it's what they drive or whether they've got a wonderful family or whatever it might be. All you're doing all the time is walking around with a big chip on your shoulder. Why? Because you crave what you do not have, and you covet what others have. God says, stop it. Be content. One of the reasons why you're so miserable, my friend, is you're not content. If you go and do an analysis of society, there are many thousands of people who have got, and using God's illustration, have got more money than you and I could ever dream about. There are thousands of people who've got plenty of it. There are thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people who've got enough of it. And there are millions of people who have none of it. God says, that's not the issue. If I am a believer, I must be content.
What a powerful Monday message from Dr. Don Wilton. I love that last phrase. Never love what you have more than what you love doing with what you have. God has called us to use our resources. Mine are different from yours. Yours are different from someone else's. But God calls us to use our time, our energy, our talents, our resources, and our finances for His glory. Let us do that this day. As we say goodbye, we want you to know that we're here 24 hours a day on our website, theencouragingword.org. Perhaps this message challenged you. You want to share it with your sweetheart or a friend. Just send them to our website, theencouragingword.org. And maybe this is something you want to share as well. Our phone number, 866-899-WORD, will always connect you with one of us, happy to talk, to listen, to pray, to connect you with great resources. That's 866-899-WORD. 9673. Before we get away, closing thoughts from Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you, and I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place, so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button. where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org.
You know, before we go today, what a day of worship we've had. You know, you and I have in the middle of our hearts our beloved nation, don't we? How much I love America. I'm so proud to be an American. And you know, this broadcast is seen by so many of our armed forces across the world. And we hear from many, many of them. And we love them, we admire them, we respect them. They are our real heroes. And I want you to join with me as we are praying for them, that God would protect them and their families and loved ones. Let's do that right now, shall we? Just before we go, why don't you join with me? Lord Jesus, I'm joining with thousands of people right now and praying for our members, our brave, brave members of our community and our world who are in uniform. Many are overseas in strange and difficult places, families left behind. Lord Jesus, bless them. Keep your hand upon them in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, if the Lord has spoken to you through Dr. Wilton today, let's talk about it. Let's pray at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at theencouragingword.org. And if you're in that battle and you feel like you need tools to help win the battle, check out these resources.
Satan is alive and is on the move in the United States. He is actively engaged in all aspects of our government, in our educational systems, and in the lives of our children, the next generation. Never forget, Satan has been defeated by the Lord Jesus Christ, and this victory enables us and the next generation of believers to stand victorious in the presence of the enemy, unwavering and unafraid. This month, as you give a gift of $20 or more to The Encouraging Word, you will receive a powerful message series by Dr. Don Wilton, Satan, the Defeated Enemy Among Us. Plus, you will receive a copy of Dr. Wilton's inspiring book, Defying the Odds, to help encourage you through all of life's challenges. Request this empowering resource set today as you support The Encouraging Word with your ministry gift. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org.
So looking forward to spending some time again tomorrow, same time, as we continue in the study of Hebrews with Dr. Don Wilton. Between now and then, connect with us online at theencouragingword.org, or don't forget the phone number, 866-899-9673, 24 hours a day. We'd love to encourage you.